fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and today we're going to hear how the Holy Spirit is forming among the apostles and those that they proclaim the gospel to, those thousands that were coming to the faith through the preaching of the apostles. We're going to hear how the spontaneous work of the Spirit is to bring together and to bring to shape a community. There's a pattern that we see in the Acts of the Apostles of how God works to build his people. You know, the church is a miracle. It's the work of God. It's the work of God through sinful, broken instruments. People who have come to receive God's mercy and healing, and they've begun to live the new creation, to follow Jesus, to put on Jesus Christ in their life. And they're allowing the Lord to lead them from darkness to light. You see in the Acts of the Apostles how the life of the early church was being formed and shaped by the Holy Spirit, who was prompting and leading and helping the apostles understand how to engage the people of Israel in mission and proclamation. We'll see how that gets expanded to the non-Jewish world. Their message is clear. The Lord confirms the message through signs and wonders, the message they proclaim. And then people hear it, they're stirred. It's interesting. They know clearly who they are, that they were sent on mission by the Lord. They know what their mission is about, to proclaim the gospel. You know that faith comes through hearing, and what's heard is the word of God. That the church is built through the proclamation of the gospel, through the witness of life, the life that they share now in their love for Christ and their love for all those Jesus sends them to. They're characterized by this kind of love. But at the heart of their life is a message, and the message is their testimony. They bear witness to what they know to be true. They're talking about the facts of salvation. They're telling everyone who Jesus is, what he did, what he taught them, and ultimately about his dying on the cross, what happened when he died on the cross, and his rising from the dead and being born into new life, and that they preach hope to the world, the hope of eternal life because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So they're testifying to what they know to be true, and they know that God is confirming the preaching of the gospel. They can't change a human heart. They can't, by their own strength, form a church. They know that. All they know is that they've been commanded by Jesus to go forth and tell everyone what Jesus had taught them and what God the Father accomplished through him, through his passion, death, and resurrection, and who Jesus is now, reigning at the right hand of the Father in heaven, that he's alive, that he's risen, that he's acting in the present, and that he's changing lives. The apostles know this personally, and they're inviting others to come in to the same knowledge through faith and to experience what they're experiencing, new life in the Holy Spirit. Christianity is a new way of life. It's not just a new way of life by human decision. It's not just a philosophy, but it's a power and a reality that's released into the lives of those who believe. And that power is a person, and that person is the Holy Spirit. You see that the central player of the entire Acts of the Apostles is the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what Jesus promised. Jesus said, when he met with the apostles in the upper room, when he met with the apostles after he had risen from the dead, he said to them that he had to go to the Father, but that he would send to them, he would baptize each one of them, he said, in the Holy Spirit. And he said, you will receive power then when the Holy Spirit comes to you, then you'll be my witnesses. So right at the heart of Christianity is this transfer of the life of Christ, the power of the Lord, to be able to accomplish the work of the Lord of building the kingdom in this world. The apostles weren't able to build it because they were smarter than everybody else, or they had just acquired, you know, they'd gone to school, they studied, they were trained for it. What they did, what they were given, was the power of Jesus himself to carry on Jesus' fundamental mission of building his kingdom in the earth. And what does that mean? That means saving sinners. That means saving every single person in the world. That means reaching out. That means sharing the story of Jesus Christ, proclaiming his good news of what he's accomplished, and offering people the possibility of the forgiveness of sins and the ability and the capacity to enter into now a whole new way of life in the kingdom of God as sons and daughters of God. They didn't have the full plan. They just day by day followed the leading and the prompting of the Holy Spirit, who gave them wisdom, discernment, gave them the words to speak, confirmed the preaching of the gospel with signs and wonders. That's how the church unfolded. It was a work of God. God manifested himself. God testified through them who they were. The church wasn't just a bureaucratic organization. It wasn't just a club. It was the kingdom of God breaking forth into the world. Literally, the life of heaven, the life of God breaking into the world. And so the reading I touched on yesterday, Monday's reading at Mass, was taken from the fourth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And the apostles had been arrested. Peter and John had been arrested by the chief priest and the leaders of the people, the Sadducees and others, and warned them to stop talking about Jesus. But they couldn't do that. And now what you see, after they've been released, they go back and they tell their friends of the threats that were leveled against them and the pressure that was coming against them. And what do? Do they back away? Do they think, oh no, things are getting rough here? Or, we didn't expect this to happen. We thought everybody would like us. We thought everyone would want to hear what we had to say. But look, even the religious leaders themselves are coming against us. They're threatening us. So they have to ask the question, what's happening? How should we understand what's happening to us? How do they understand it? By remembering what was taught to them in the Torah, what was prophesied about the coming of the Messiah, how the world, how the religious leaders even of the time in the world would resist the rule and reign of the Messiah when he comes to establish his kingdom. Why? Because in the hearts of every human being, in the heart of every human being, is a resistance to God and God's will and God's reign and rule in their lives. The apostles understood the difficult time they had because that's exactly what King David said would happen. And they're able to see the present battle that they're in light of what Scripture has revealed about the unfolding of the mission of the Messiah and what it would be like. And so they find themselves right in the middle of that unfolding reality. And they turn to the Lord. They don't try to protect themselves. They don't ask the Lord to keep them safe. They don't try to hide. What they say is, Lord, give us more. Give us more of your Holy Spirit so we can speak your word with boldness. So we can tell everybody, Lord, who you are. We want to speak your name. And then as they cry out to the Lord, I love this scene because they're crying out together spontaneously to the Lord. It's not mass that they're having right here at this moment. It's not a formal liturgy. It's two brothers who've been really threatened and intimidated by the leadership to try to stop what they're doing. They're sharing with their brothers what they've just gone through. And they all realize as they're looking at one another, this is exactly what the Lord said would happen. This is unfolding just like Jesus said it would. Let's cry out for more so we have the strength and we have the courage and the boldness to keep doing what we know the Lord is leading us into. So together they cry out to the Lord. They say, Lord, we want more of your Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit shook the place where they were gathered, it said, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, these guys, the apostles had already been filled with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. So what Luke, the writer of Acts, is telling us is not just a one-time filling of the Holy Spirit, that the Christian life, and especially the mission of the Lord, is a constant walking in the Spirit. And we need more of the Holy Spirit as we confront new challenges and new situations. We need new power. We need new energy. We need more courage. We need more boldness. And we can cry out to the Lord for these things. And the Lord loves it when we open our hearts to it and receive the Holy Spirit as he desires to pour it out. So that was yesterday's reading. And then what we're given today is a glimpse of the early Christian community and how it was taking shape. And here's how Luke described it. So the community of believers was of one heart and one mind. So as the gospel is preached, the Holy Spirit touches the hearts of those who hear and opens their heart and helps them see the truth about who Jesus is. It's the primary mission of the Holy Spirit. It's the unique mission of the Spirit to reveal the lordship of Jesus, the person of Jesus, to every human heart. And the heart is an opportunity then. You and I, we each have an opportunity when you hear the gospel to say yes, to believe, and to receive it. And that ability to say yes and receive it is really a work of the Holy Spirit in us. And the Holy Spirit wants us to fall in love with Christ, to receive his love, to receive his forgiveness, and to become a new creation. And as that heart falls in love, you're drawn to what? The other hearts that have fallen in love with Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit wants to awaken in us a new life, and then the Holy Spirit wants us to enter communion, to come together, to be a community. And to be a community that is of one heart and one mind in the knowledge and the pursuit of Jesus Christ and living in his kingdom. It goes on, it says, no one claimed that they had any of his possessions was his own, but they had everything in common. It's interesting, that early Christian community, that small band of people, they lived in common. They shared their possessions with one another. They were brothers and sisters. And one of the beautiful things that happens in the kingdom of God when it breaks out is that people from different socioeconomic backgrounds or status in society suddenly understand that what separated them, the class divisions and everything else, really in light of Christ doesn't mean anything. Those class divisions are human creations, often separating people from each other. And some people are superior to other people. We see it today, even in our culture today. Human beings, we all want to be a part of the inner ring, the inner circle, the most enlightened, the best, the most powerful, the wealthiest, the most influential. We seek all that. But when the kingdom of God really touches our hearts, touches your heart and mind, when the Spirit of God reveals to us who the real king is and what really matters, and that following in his footstep matters, and that every person, no matter what strata of society they are of infinite worth, and that they truly are our brothers and sisters. Why? Why do we know that? Because Christ became one of us. Jesus didn't come to save cities and civilizations and businesses. Jesus came to save sinners. Jesus came to bring back to the Father the eternal creatures, men and women who God has created for his glory and for his purpose. So the Christians, their hearts were turned toward one another. They began to see each other in light of Christ. They had love and tenderness and affection for one another. They served one another. They shared their wealth. They shared their resources. So no one was wanting among them. It went on to say, with great power, the apostles bore witness. Here's the center of it. With great power. Remember, Jesus said, you will receive power. The Spirit is that power that confirms the proclamation of the witness to what? It goes on to say, to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great favor was accorded to them all. The center of the preaching of the apostles is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Christianity is a religion that's built on a historic claim, a fact, a truth claim that Jesus was dead and he rose to new life and lives now for all eternity in glory. It goes on, the passage. There was no needy person among them, for those who owned property or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds for the sale and put them at the feet of the apostles, and they were distributed to each according to their need. It's amazing when the Holy Spirit touches our hearts, how it moves us to look to the other and the concerns of the other and not primarily for my own concern. It's really one of the indicators that we can see in our own lives. Am I really yielding to the Holy Spirit? Am I walking in the Holy Spirit? Because if I am, this kind of desire to share and to love and to reach out and to go out of our comfort zone for the sake of others and for the kingdom is what will move us. God bless you, friends. This is exactly what the Lord wants to do in each and every one of our lives, to open our hearts to those around us. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.